the Google Wallace didn't get herself ejected in the state final, offered some dumb stuff.
Yeah, that's true.
I don't want to say I dreaded showing up to this football game on Friday night, but...
Yeah, we'll see what happens.
Like, if you want to talk, you have to talk into the microphone. There we go. Mic to mic.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome back. And we have our own offensive line in the background. He's figuring out the best way to knock things over. In any case, long-awaited return of Huddle Up Season 2. We are in the Berkshire Eagle Photo Studio here on Wednesday. In a couple days' time, the high school football season will kick off. I'm Jesse Kolodkin. I'm joined by Mike Walsh and Howard Herman. And this is a preseason preview, the final one. We'll preview the first week of games, week 1A, week 0, however you want to look at it. The MIA calls it week 1A, so that's how it will be. The first edition of the Huddle, the preseason edition, is out in papers. It's been out since Tuesday. Hope you guys picked up a copy. Shout out our designer, Mitch Chapman. He did a fantastic job. Looks really, really, really good. It's an extra chunky edition. And so, yeah, hope you guys can enjoy that. But once again, Friday, first games will kick off. Saturday, we'll have a contest, and then we'll be back in the swing of things. Huddle will come out electronically on Mondays. It will come out in print on Tuesdays. That will happen until November 3rd, I want to say, guaranteed, because that will be the final Tuesday of the regular season. And then we'll be playoffs, and however many playoff teams, however much action we get in the postseason, will kind of dictate how that comes out. So if you're a player and you're listening to this and you like seeing your stuff in the paper, play well, because that kind of dictates it. But in any case, yeah, I think I'd like to preview kind of the games going into this. That's the biggest thing happening right now.
Yeah, sure. We can do games. I mean, there's plenty to talk about, obviously.
There's a lot to talk about, but
we kind of scratched the surface a couple times. With where every, I think we just, last time we talked was where everyone is, who everyone will be playing kind of deal. But yeah, we have actual games coming up. Unfortunately, like none of them are in the Berkshires, but
no. So where'd Hank just go?
He's on your thing.
He's on my chair. What's up, buddy?
Yeah, we got three games Friday night, none of which are local.
Yes. So
I'm curious as to how that happened.
Yeah. It's a bit of a dud of a Friday night. Yeah.
Yeah, it's just, so Taconic was supposed to play somebody and their opponent dropped out, and so that's why they got West Springfield to backfill. McCann lost a game because Drury is no longer in its league, and so they have been kind of been backfilling.
Drury's not even no longer in their league.
Right, Drury no longer exists. And same with Monument Mountain, because Monument's also in that same league, and so that's kind of how that happened. Monument also is actually playing Fitchburg later in the season just because they needed an eighth game. So, in any case, yes, Friday night we will have Taconic at West Springfield, Monument Mountain at Mahar, and McCann Tech at Baypath Voke. Will be an interesting season debut for all three of those teams. Taconic coming off an 0-8 regular season, 0-9 overall. They're playing a West Springfield team that went 8-0 last year, that went 7-0 the year prior. Westside did lose in the first round of the state tournament each time. They were upset last year. That being said, they're in Division III. So, very big school, playing on big levels. They are now at – West Springfield had been in the Suburban South. They're now in the AA League with Central and Westfield and all those big powers. Westside graduated a lot, but still, they have been a perennial power, and Taconic is going to have to show improvement pretty quickly. And then you have Monument Mountain against Mahar. Mahar was around 500 team last year. Monument had a very good season last year. They just have graduated a lot. They're also on the road. That's at least an hour 45 drive, so it's a road test to start. And then you have McCann Tech is at Baypath, which is in Charlton in Worcester County. And Baypath was undefeated last year, earned the 10 seed in the Division 6 state tournament. And I believe they only lost by like 14 points to a team that went to the Final Four. So that's also a really, really, really big test for McCann off rip. And then on Saturday, we have one local game, and it's kind of a saves week 1A. Wakona and Hoosick Valley kicking things off to kick things off.
What's up?
As soon as I started talking about Wakona and Hoosick, Hank was focused. He was dialed in on me. So I think he's a big Gary Campbell, Marshall Maxwell fan. In any case, yeah. So Wakona Huzik played an excellent game last year, 22-18. Wakona win, and we're going to see what they look like this year on Saturday in Cheshire. I believe it's a noon start. Hoping for a great crowd, hoping for a great game. But Howard, which game would you like to start with? Which one do we want to talk about first? Wakona Huzik game. All right. It is the big game. It is certainly the game of the week.
Because I remember, last year, it wasn't quite as early. It ended up being, at least on schedule wise, a pretty important game for both teams. You know, as far as potential playoff requirements.
And they both made the playoffs. So yeah.
Yes, it was. I mean, it was week two. So it wasn't like it was super. It was much later. It was also at Wakona.
Wakona also won it, and then went out the next week and got absolutely obliterated. So yeah. Ultimately, both teams did make the playoffs.
That is correct. Yeah, I think that this is a good litmus test for Wakona. Wakona graduated 15 seniors, so they are starting, new running backs, new quarterback, completely new quarterback after a year and a half of Landon Corcoran. They're going to have a couple new players on the offensive line. They're going to have new players on the defensive line. They're going to have a lot of new pieces, new receivers. So you're playing a Huzik team that has something like 12 seniors plus some reinforcements from Drury and Greylock. This is going to be a big Huzik team. This is going to be a very, very talented Huzik team. I think this is going to tell Gary Campbell a lot about his team. It's going to tell the Warriors a lot about themselves. And as for Huzik, they beat you last year, right? And even if I think on paper Huzik is better, it's Wakona Huzik, right? Like, Wakona is going to give you everything they have. So you cannot sleepwalk into this game.
And this is a game, I've seen Gary Campbell at several events over the summer. He knows what he's got.
Sure.
And it's a small team, numbers-wise, for them. It's a team it's a program that I think is 2 years, might be 2 years away from being really good again, because there's a good crop of 7th, 8th graders coming up. And then a year or two, playing varsity football, see things differently for them. And it's going to be, I think the pressure's more on who's, much more on who's.
I agree.
Because there's a team, it's a three school co-op, and they've got some, talented athletes coming from both Drury and Mount Greylock, and I think it's going to be a really interesting watch to see how Marshall Maxwell gets them integrated into what they want to do.
Yeah, their pressure is definitely on Huzik. They know they have a target on their back. They know the expectations are high for what they can do this season. I liked what Marshall said in the preseason, which was, we knew, like, the Huzik guys knew we needed help to get over the hump, right? And so that's what the hope that Drury and Greylock provide for them is, that they get the pieces they need, especially the depth pieces they need to get over the hump, especially when you get deeper into the playoffs and you play some bigger Eastern Mass teams. Once again, yeah, how does that manifest with Wakona? On paper, you probably should be better. On the other hand, Wakona beat you last year, and they beat you when you were at your best. And they are going to have some good players. I'm excited to see what Jerry Beaubron looks like. Gary Campbell was very excited about Anthony Talora, what he can do. They have some big O-linemen in Jackson Crow and Lucas Ostrander. It's still Wakona.
Mm-hmm.
And I think this should be a really good game. And, if you're a Huzik senior, like, this is your last chance to beat Wakona. And so this would be a nice way to start the season out strong. You're going to be playing Pittsfield. You're going to be playing Lee. You're going to be playing Taconic. you're going to be playing Monument. So you have a really heavy Berkshire schedule, and beating the team that has generally been the best in the county, wasn't last year, but has generally been the best in the county, would be a great start.
Yeah, there's still some mystery on both sides, even though you know who's it, you kind of know who's going to have the ball in their hands, who's going to be rushing the passer, that kind of stuff. You know, but there is mysteries on, yeah, who did they actually gain from this co-op? Because, yes, we said it all preseason, we don't really know who's coming from Drury. Most of the bulk of the Drury production last year on that admittedly 0-9 team was seniors. So we don't know. There could be names that pop on that sideline, and on the other one, we don't know who's under center. We don't know. We know, yeah, Jerry Boburn could get a bunch of carries. There's five or six guys that are kind of in line waiting for an opportunity behind the county's leading rusher last year.
Yeah. Yeah, no more West Dews. That's definitely going to be a hit to the Wakona offense. I like what Boburn showed before he got hurt. I think Campbell's excited about him, excited about Talora once again. Lorenzo Lewis gets some snaps out receiver. He was definitely kind of hidden on the depth chart. Mike, I know you are excited about what he can do after track season. He's fast. Once again, that's kind of going to depend on what the quarterback situation looks like, how you can kind of get the ball moved around, and obviously how the offensive line holds up. Huzik is going to have a really good pass rush. Jacob Borowski is back. He was all Berkshire first team 2 years ago, was all Berkshire second team last year. You're going to have Jaquan Vasquez back. Kind of had a disappointing end to the season, but he can be really, really good when he is dialed in.
Sorry, defensive MVP 2 years ago.
Yeah. Defensive MVP 2 years ago. Logan O'Connell is back for Huzik, yeah. And he was hurt last year, so is Ian Lieb now, and that really hurt what they could do on the offensive line, and so having both of them back will be huge for their offense, but also good for their defense.
Yeah, that was the other way I was going to potentially go with that. So we had a hole in the huddle this year because there's no Drury football. Normally we had those four pages, eight teams, it divided up pretty easily. So I was trying to figure out what do we do to fill this hole, and that was the other one I thought of because I know Jaquan, Jacob, Logan had those really impressive wrestling seasons. Mm. So I was just trying to equate, like, all right, how can we predict this season based off other sports? Wound up going the track route just because it was a little more of gave you some more unknowns than those guys. I feel like we kind of know who.
They're knowns.
They are knowns, but they obviously came off a very strong wrestling season. They may have dipped their toe in the track water, didn't wind up following through on it, but just given the high level of guys that have done track in the past, I thought that was a way to try to see what was going to maybe happen this season. But
we'll see what happens on Saturday.
Yeah, we have so much. We have five new quarterbacks, right? Five people we don't know who's the starter.
Monument Mountain has Dom Kaludi.
Monument and Huzik, right?
And
that's
Huzik
it.
Has Kamari and Kastner, and that's
so,
about it.
So we were thinking, like, those three games, we know kind of what Monument will look like. Obviously, they'll have some giant, giant holes to fill.
Let's go there. Let's go
giant
Monument
in stature.
Yes.
As much as production. But the other two, yeah, I was just saying, go one by one. What do you're going to Taconic. West Springfield on, not tomorrow, but tomorrow maybe when people are hearing this, what is the first thing you're going to be, where are you looking first?
You're talking about Monument, so let's talk about
Monument.
Okay, Monument,
yeah. Oh, buddy. There you go.
Hank's, I guess, doesn't like you skipping over Monument like that.
That gives Huzik and Monument a huge advantage over a lot of other teams in Western Mass that they both have legitimate quarterbacks who have produced legitimate numbers.
Kaludi far more than Kastner, but yes, they are both returners. Kaludi now in his third year as a starter. He's a senior coming off a great basketball season, coming off a solid baseball season, and in football last year, solid football season last year through 1,000 yards. The big question mark is Isaiah Kiefner is no longer there. Of those 1,000 yards, 500 went to Kiefner. So he's missing his best target. What I really like is Griffin Tupont's returns, and he really flashed some potential as a deep threat last year. Kind of was in and out just with some injuries, but he had a lot of big plays, had a beautiful 37-yard touchdown catch against Huzik. That was a game that Monument lost 12-6. Could have very easily won that game if a couple things break their way. So, you know, the passing attack is going to have to take the next step when Sean Frank is no longer in the backfield. Ariel Dominguez is no longer in the backfield. You lost Samson Peter. You lost
your
Robert
primary
Sharp.
Protection. Yes.
Yeah, he's and gone. So, you know, that kind of get out of jail free card where we can give the ball to Sean Frank and he's going to break off for 15 is no longer there. I actually was very impressed by Thomas Brown in their game against Six last year. And Cameron Boyno has kind of come in and out.
Frank was
lineup.
Out of that game, right?
Mm-hmm.
Frank did not play that
game. He did
game.
Not
yes.
play that game.
Yeah, so.
And so, you know, I think they have two solid backs, but A, I imagine it's going more of a running back by committee, and B, you know, you're not Sean Frank. It's fine. It is what it is. And they're, you know, going to have to figure out how to be starters. So if Coluti can take that next step as truly like this is a passing offense first, Monument is going to be a really dangerous offense.
It's, you know, I think, and it, you see it all the time, a good quarterback will salve over and color over some weaknesses elsewhere. If sure. you have that guy, and Monument has that guy, and Husek has that guy, it's going to help, you know, they start two steps ahead of everybody else, no matter what the rest of their team looks like. And obviously, if the rest of the team doesn't play well, they're not going to be as big a help. But at least, you know, when you start in game one, having that guy is a huge advantage over your opponent.
Yeah, I mean, they have continuity. They have a good leader who can, you know, kind of center the team, who's been there. And yeah, it's there. You know, Mahar, I think, is a solid team. It's certainly a winnable game for Monument, but once again, this is a very new Monument team, so they're going to have to figure themselves out. And then in week one, they have Lee. And so, in week one, they have Lee. I forget if it's
yes.
week one or two. But yeah, they have Lee. And so.
If you consider this week 1A, then
right,
yes,
yeah,
it's week
one. Week
1A,
week one, yeah. They'll have Lee, which is, you know, they lost 11 straight, then they beat them 2 years ago. In Great Barrington, they lost last year. The offense was shut out, lost 24-6 in Lee. Now it's back in Great Barrington. But once again, this is a very good Lee team. And so, yeah, Monument, how the quarterback, how the offense looks is definitely going to be a question mark. You have McCann and you have Taconic. Taconic is also one where we're looking at quarterback because they had five quarterbacks take snaps last year, which obviously not exactly ideal. We're not really sure who's going to get the start
four
this
of them
year.
Might return, right?
I think... No. Ethan Schofield graduated. Cesar Santos graduated. Cesar
played quarterback last year.
Cesar played. Yeah, Cesar started okay. the Chicopee. Cesar got the start in the Chicopee game.
Okay.
No, my favorite was, I think, the Taconic game I covered, they had just decided to move Christian Aldridge from center to quarterback.
Yes, I do have him down as yes. He graduated, but he was also a quarterback. He was a linebacker.
And did six guys play quarterback? Six
it might have been,
guys, but six.
I think we have five in our notes. It might have been six overall.
Lily Ferris would be back.
Lily Ferris and Evan Rockabruner are both back.
Rockabruner back. Did Blondini, did he not play quarterback?
Michael Bond, you know what? He might have. But it was kind of, I don't think it was like, you know.
A ton.
And I don't know about
it
all
It might have been he threw three passes in the fourth quarter.
Mm-hmm. But I do know that Lily Ferris went to quarterback camp this summer.
Okay. I mean, you know, we'll... Yeah, the Taconic just has so many question marks. They're going to have some talent on the line. Eddie Ferris was hurt last year after like week two or three. So how he looks is going to be a big question mark. I think he could be the best running back in the county. He looked good in preseason. He's a big physical runner. He showed some nice pass-catching ability out of the backfield. He's a great linebacker. Like what he said, which is, you know, running people over is fun, but I like hitting people. So the power you see that he has on the baseball field is what he brings to the football field. And, yeah, the question mark is going to be the defense and the quarterback, and can this offense, you know, be consistent?
Barring, like, a completely stunning win, what do you need to leave West Springfield Friday night feeling, like, positive about the Taconic football program?
I want to see their offense move the ball competently, you know, even if they don't punch it in and score. Like, can the offensive line block and get the running back some yards, and, you know, Ferris isn't just getting hit three times in the backfield. Whoever is the starting quarterback, do they look like they belong back there?
Yes.
You know, I think Evan Rockabrune is probably going to get moved around a lot. They want to get the ball in his hands, be a playmaker, be a receiver, you know, kind of scat back, squat back type thing. I imagine Lily Ferris is probably in line to start. You know, I'll give her credit because she played Fearless last year, and that is something that you can't really teach. But she also played in a lot of fourth quarters where the game's already decided. Mm-hmm. So, you know, you're a sophomore and you're getting, oh, that's your phone being eaten.
Yeah. They say one of the most gross things, cell phone.
In any case, you know, yeah, can she run the offense if she is the starter? And, yeah, I just want to see that this team looks like a team.
Competence,
even if, yeah, even, you know, look, football. If they lose 36-12, mm-hmm. that's fine as long as, like, all right, they made West Springfield work for it.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, can the defense get at least some stops? Are they going to roll over? You know, if West Springfield converts a bunch of, you know, third and twos or fourth and ones, fine. You know, you kind of expect them to be better. But if they're, you know, not getting past second down because they're just getting big chunk plays or they're converting 3rd and 7s constantly or there's lots of penalties, that's when I start having worries. If they stay with them for a half, I think that's a huge sign. That's what I'm saying is that, you know, based on what Taconic was last year, I would think that the final score would be 50-0. If we see the improvement that we're talking about, I think, you know, they hang with them for a half, they make West Springfield work for it, and I think that's a really good sign. And Taconic can kind of use that and say, look, this is proof of concept. We're building something here. We're getting better. And, you know, when you play Commerce, when you play Holyoke, when you play East Hampton, you're gonna have a chance to win.
Finish a football game.
Finish a football game. Real finish full, strong.
Yeah. 48 minute football game. Yeah.
And then you have McCann Tech, which did beat Taconic last year in a +1 game. Once again, they are at Bay Path, which is coming off an undefeated state tournament berth season, where they really pushed a team that went to the Final Four. This is going to be another kind of brutal test for the Hornets, who graduated. Their best offensive players graduated. Their two senior quarterbacks, Moussa Thompson, who was a second team running back, had 600 plus all purpose yards, a bunch of touchdowns, was offensive player of the week in week 8 in the win over Drury. They no longer have Parker Hart, who did get hurt last year, but was still, you know, good leader, good player. They have a lot to figure out. They have a lot of question marks. We're kind of going to see how they turn out. They have a very new team as well. You know, the benefit for them is a lot of players who were there in 2023 weren't in 2024, and now they're back. I think those wins at the end of the year kind of help with that, kind of showing, once again, proof of concept that you can do this and you can win here at McCann.
It's a good sign for the head coach, I would say.
Yes.
It means, kids actually want to play football for you, which is the biggest, I think, challenge facing football right now is just getting kids to play football.
Getting numbers, yeah. Aiden Ford is back. He was hurt last year. He was a really good safety. I think that that's would be a highlight. They have some seniors that I think they're excited about. You know, I was there on the first day of practice, so it was mostly tryouts rather than really doing scrimmages. So, yeah, they have a lot more unknowns. They're up against it. There's no other way to put it. They're playing a team that's been very, very consistently good. I don't know.
It's
a giant if, yeah. I don't know if McCann would be in the small one. I don't know if Bay Path would be in small or large. I just don't know. It's certainly a possibility. It's definitely a big if. We'll see where the Hornets are this year and if that's kind of in the cards. In any case, I'll circle back. Let's see, we have a little bit of time left to talk about Lee and Pittsfield. We talked about the Oklahoma quarterback situation. We talked about all those other ones. So I guess, yeah, Lee, PHS are the only two teams I don't think we talked about. They're the two at the bye. So Lee lost Amari Smith, who started the last 2 years, and he kind of played quarterback, split time there as a sophomore. So he graduates. He graduated, and Marcus Jubri, who was a two-time first-team quarterback, who was a two-time offensive MVP, he graduated. He's off at prep school. And so, yeah, that's definitely, you know, it's a bigger hit for PHS because PHS just lost more in general. And Lee has a couple of kids coming over from Lennox who they have Mason Daly and David Kirchner, who you, of course, know Mason Daly is one of their better pitchers.
Just weren't built around Omari.
They were not
like
built
Pittsfield
around the
passing. He was a
guy who liked to hand the ball off, and you got the Reber boys, and that's probably for the two of those schools, it's probably a much better spot for Lee to be in than Pittsfield, because Pittsfield pretty much lost most, if not all,
they lost their offense,
their skill position players.
They lost
most,
okay,
most
right,
is
right,
an understatement.
All right, so Marcus Jubery had 2,000 plus total yards, 40 plus total touchdowns. Freddie Conyers had, I think, 400 plus total yards and another, you know, 10 touchdowns.
What I wrote in my story is Pittsfield and McCann neither have a player returning who got more than, I think, the number was 10 handoffs. I think it was fewer for Pittsfield, like maybe five.
Not at all a shock. I mean, Elias Robinson is gone. He had 1,000 all-purpose yards and double-digit touchdowns. Like, everyone is gone. So they're most likely going to be starting a freshman at quarterback. They have a lot. They have a lot of question marks to answer, and I think Lee has the best backfield on the county with Dawson and J.D. Reber. So even if you are breaking in a new quarterback, you can just kind of hand the ball off, and your offense should at least be able to tread water. Tom Salinetti, kind of, you know, it's more just about the comfort level. You know, with Omari, he has a veteran behind center who he's like, okay, I trust him to make the calls at the line. I trust him to make the audibles. I can kind of let him guide the offense. I don't need to kind of be as present. The coaches don't need to be as present, whereas now you're breaking in a new guy at quarterback, and you do need to have some more training wheels at the beginning because there's somebody else leading the offense. And with Pittsfield, it's going to be the same position where, they're most likely going to have a freshman at QB. Xavier Stothard, I think, will get time, but I think they're also going to try and use him as a playmaker. Yeah. So, yeah, it's just going to be a lot of how does this offense look. And, yeah, PHS does not have the benefit of a guaranteed running back threat in the backfield.
No, you can pick – I mean, yeah. you can pick, like, I expect this person to be really good on almost every team in the county. Pittsfield, I don't know. We go through and choose out these X factors throughout the preseason that run in the huddle, if you picked it up. And for Pittsfield, it's Aiden Alabozic, who's a 3-year lineman, and Jackson Almeida, who this time last year had yet to play a down of organized football, I guess. So those guys could be very good. There could be an unknown name that pops that you don't know about coming out of the Pittsfield youth program, which is, like, the Bulldogs are still pretty legit. Yeah, there's massive, massive unknowns on that. The most known thing is that they have. Is it the most veteran? It's the most. I don't know when Gary Campbell came back, but one of the most veteran staffs, I would imagine, in Western Mass, which has to be worth something in terms of just
it'll be worth something.
Unity,
but they're going to take their lumps.
Yeah.
They're going to take their lumps. Jackson Almeida, I think they have a lot of excitement about him. He was a very good linebacker last year in his first year of football. Seth Aiken was as well, and I believe they're going to be using him more just because he has some speed and they lack numbers, and so they're going. You know, when you have a state level cross country runner, you're going to try and use those legs as you can. But, yeah, there's going to be a lot of question marks. And, yeah, I agree, you know, with Wilcona and PHS specifically, you have the two longest tenured coaches in the county. You have the two big staffs, two experienced staffs. And this is kind of where, you know, this is where they earn their keep. This is where they show how good they are.
Yes.
You know, this is a big challenge for them. Like, when you have Landon Corcoran and Garrett Taylor and Peyton Shippey and Noah Poirier, it's, mm-hmm. you know, it makes your job a lot easier. And with, you know, Pittsfield, when you have Marcus Jubery and Jack Reed, it makes your job a lot easier. And now it's like, all right.
That's what you were saying with Tom Salinetti last year and how he, like, didn't have to worry about the quarterback and stuff. I'm like, he wasn't even on the sidelines in their win over Monument.
That's true.
he was out. Missed that game. So, they didn't have to worry about it. Omari just took care of it, and they beat Monument fairly handily. Yeah,
they had a great defense.
But yeah, both Reber's returned. Both got over, despite everything we lost, they both got over 50 carries last year, and were kind of big parts of that offense. So there's less to worry about there as long as they can get the ball into their hands. Other places, not so much. It's a worry about who's getting it into the hands of the other person and whose hands those are.
Yeah, that's going to be a big question, but I think we can end it there. Just week one previews. Once again, next week we'll talk about the real week one slash week two, technically.
Slash rivalry week.
Rivalry, yeah. No, yeah, next week, I mean, we'll have PHS Taconic, we'll have Monument Lee, we'll have some big games. But getting back into the swing of things, hopefully you guys enjoyed it. Hank is telling us that we need to get out of Dodge, so we will do just that. Thank you all for listening. Jesse Kalak and Mike Walsh, Howard Herman here, and have a good rest of your day, and take it easy.